It was a really nice day, really good race for me yesterday. So I got that going on, and I hope that everything is going well for you. Now, we have got an amazing guest on the program for you this morning. I was talking a little bit earlier this morning about Father Mike Joly. He played a song earlier this morning, and we're going to feature some of his music today. Well, he joins us right now to tell us a little bit more about his life and his ministry, especially his music ministry. Father Mike Joly with us. Hello, Father Mike. Good morning.
Good morning, Dallas. Good morning. Blessed Advent to you. How are you?
I am better than I deserve, my friend. How about you?
Great. I'm doing super. Very
good.
Well.
Good.
I love that, Simon, you were just talking about the race having been run, and those are the prayers of this past weekend and this past week of Advent as well, just running the race to meet Christ that is coming. It's really good, and I hope spiritually we're, you know, even more fit than physically.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, interestingly enough, too, this is one of the things, like St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, he analogizes the spiritual life to the physical life when he talks about how we run the race, and he talks about how runners run for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable one. And he goes on to say, run well, you know, run the race well. So it's a great analogy, and one that I particularly like as a runner, you know what I mean?
Well, congratulations.
Thank
sounds
you.
Like a lot of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a great day. Well, Father Mike Joly is with us this morning. Now, Father Mike is an amazing guy and an amazing musician, too. By the way, let me just say, Father Mike, I received your CD through a friend of yours who is a listener of this program. And when I put it in my CD player, now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, okay? But I'll just tell you like it is. I've been in the radio business since 1979, so I've heard a lot of stuff. And typically when I get things that are independently produced, I don't have real high expectations. Now, again, that's no knock on anybody in particular. It just is what it is. When I put your CD in my CD player and I heard what came out, I was blown away.
Wow.
You are good, my friend. You are very good.
Praise God for that compliment. I'm really thankful that the project was a long, long time in coming. And I'd say about 14 years. I sort of battled my own demons regarding, is this going to be good enough? An issue I had was my own personal spirituality being put, quote unquote, in a can, you know, and so that any listener, you know, without knowing where it came from, or me as an individual searching for the Lord myself, it just was odd putting it in a can. On a CD, as it were. And the second thing, as I said, was the quality of it, too. I wasn't sure, like, Lord, is this going to be for your glory, or is this, you know, is it going to be good enough to praise you? And we can certainly at Holy Mass just give the Lord our souls at the altar, in the Eucharist, just pour out everything we are. That's such a beautiful, eternal, dynamic thing, a dynamic moment, putting a song or a prayer from one soul or one heart, burning it onto a CD, I had some second thoughts about it, and a bunch of friends were just encouraging me, supporting me, and ultimately, about a year and a half ago, a wonderful producer, and part of the quality you're talking about there, I'll give the Lord all the credit, and I'll give Rick Elias partial credit. Rick Elias is a Nashville producer. He's a wonderful Christian artist, recording artist himself. He's worked in the movie industry, doing some soundtracks with some pretty big name actors and all that kind of thing. And we became friends about 10 years ago or so. I was at a large Catholic conference. He and his group were the musicians on hand. And I'm not a shy man. Being a blind guy, if I was shy, I'd be still sitting in the corner, you know.
Right.
I'm feeling bad for myself. And so I learned to use, you know, one's mouth and connect your mouth and your heart together. So I was so impressed with this guy's music that I told my buddy I was with me, I was like, I want to go meet that band. And from that point on, we just became fast friends. And he was a great supporter of this project as well. And a lot of the quality you hear there, it's his expertise. That was my first time in studio. And let alone in Nashville, and I was a bit intimidated by the whole industry. And
sure,
he was a great guide for me.
Yeah, I can get that way. And he is a very talented guy. Hey, by the way, Father Mike Joly is with us this morning. We're going to be playing some of his music, and if you only have a limited time to listen, I want to give you his website real quick. It's Father Mike Jolie. Now, you have to spell out the word father, by the way, F-A-T-H-E-R, Mike Jolie, J-O-L-Y.com. So go to FatherMikeJolie.com. You can order his CD from there. And as I say, we're going to play some of the songs from this CD. It's really, really good stuff. Now, before we do that, Father Mike, I really want to go back in time and go back to the beginning. You have a fascinating story. And whenever we have clergy on the air, I really like to hear, first off, your vocation story and how you discerned a vocation to the priesthood. So let's go back in time to the very beginning. Did you grow up in a real strong, supportive kind of Catholic family? Tell me about your early spiritual life.
Sure. I'm one of 11 children, actually, in a broken family from New England. In name, yes, we were Catholic. There was always sort of this superstructure of Catholicism. But, you know, unfortunately, like the trend oftentimes, it was more, as I say, a superstructure rather than an integrity, rather than something that kind of burned inside of us. We understood, we grasped the power of it, transforming our lives. It was not that. It was choice A. It was like this sort of an external superstructure that, you know, we kind of existed in. And we received the sacraments, but it was more out of a sense of obligation than understanding and hunger. What's amazing is this. I ended up in my mid to late teen years, attending my first Catholic peer ministry retreat. And that's what really started some fire burning. My undergraduate degree is in management, and I used music to put me through college. My siblings and my peers, you know, they were all playing their sports when they were teenagers, and naturally, you know, I wasn't the first pick for you know, their side of the baseball team or...
Well, now before you go there, I think you haven't told that story, and you made an allusion just a couple of moments ago. Father Mike Jolie is with us this morning to the fact that you said as a blind guy. Now, tell us about your blindness, because I understand that you're not...
Did I say that? I don't remember saying as a blind guy. Maybe I did. You know what it is? I don't talk about it much. It's sort of like you saying...
No, you did. Just a couple seconds ago, you said, as a blind guy, okay. I'm not the most shy kind of person. So you did make an allusion to it.
Okay, yeah, an allusion.
So our listeners may not know, Father Mike Jolie is blind. Now, you weren't blind. You weren't born blind. But,
no.
So tell us that story.
You bring up a good point, because it's like you saying you're a breathing guy. I mean, oxygen is transparent to you, right?
Yeah.
And in the same way, the whole blindness thing, I lost my sight when I was six due to a brain tumor. And again, in a really large family, single parent, it was extremely terrifying time. I was hospitalized for about a year and a half. This was in 1972 with four major neurosurgeries going on. And interesting, you know, we were talking about family and faith and Catholicism a moment ago. I do recall this. I do recall... my dad coming to the hospital, my mom coming to the hospital, you know, they were actually able to, you know, put differences aside when there's a tragedy in front of them. And I do remember 11 kids kneeling around a bed, you know, praying for their brother who was in the hospital at near death. So I do remember, you know, spirituality, our Catholic spirituality in times of need firing up like that. So yes, I had a brain tumor when I was six. After being released from the hospital, it was a long recovery at home. And then I was mainstreamed into public schools. And at the time, that was sort of unheard of for a blind person. And I'm totally blind. It's not like, you know, everyone always says, do you see shapes? Do you see colors? I'm like, no. Do you see darkness? Do you see black? I'm like, no, it's just blind. What color is it? It's not a color. It's just blind. So it's interesting. I do recall the notion of spirituality firing up in my siblings, you know, around that tragedy. And I was getting to this whole notion of the teenage years and the peer retreat. Well, being a blind guy, you know, my peers and my siblings were all playing their sports. And what could I do, you know, to sort of realize a sense of self-expression and fulfillment and joy? And I ended up playing the piano when I was 15 years old. A family friend had given me some lessons on a little parlor organ that we had. But I really when I sat down at the piano, I would end up playing 3 or 4 hours a day. I was just mesmerized by it. It became a real avenue of prayer for me, of expression, of reaching out, of God reaching in and affecting me. And I would just chill. And it's funny, you know, siblings are a little unforgiving. And I recall, you know, singing and all when I was a teenager. And siblings are, like I say, a bit unforgiving. And they just say, Mike, stop singing. Mike, stop singing. And so I ended up singing in the basement. We got this old junky upright piano. And the ad said, if you can move it, you can have it. And God bless my dad. He went with a pickup truck and a few buddies. We got this big old nasty upright and put it in the basement. And that's where I spent 3 or 4 hours just chilling. And like I say, loving the music that was coming into me and trying to give it back to the Lord.
Right.
I was hired as a choir director, as I alluded to earlier, and that accompanied me at a couple churches. I was choir director, and that accompanied me through college. You said the vocation point earlier. What ended up happening is, you know, once the Lord starts to work in my life or in any life, it's like the hound of heaven, man. You just can't shut that fire off. If there's been a taste of something cool, something divine, you want the whole thing. And going through college, graduating, you know, with a degree in management, a bachelor's in management, and I'm working in that field for about a year and a half, and I just said, is this all there is? I mean, there's got to be something more, Lord. I mean, there's a lot of earthly pieces in place right now, you know, a lot of earthly pieces in place. I've got my own place, got great friends, dating some, got a few bucks in my pocket, a couple of good dinners. Is this all there is? And I remember one day it was so absolutely poignant, standing at the, I was waiting to be picked up and driven home, and this real burning sensation just burned through my whole body. It wasn't words, it was a more sensation, a voice of a different kind than audible. And it just said, oh, there's a lot more. There's a lot more. You know, check out the seminary. It was just the sensation I had. And it wasn't a foreign idea. I've known people and been close to people who had entered the seminary and found great joy there. And my pastor, God love him, you know, who was for 7 years my employer, you know, kept encouraging me to check out the priesthood too. But right. Anyway.
So this wasn't something that you had never thought about before. Father Mike Joly is with us this morning. I'm Gus Lloyd. You're on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. You know, we get back more into that story. I want, you know, Father Mike, especially in the mornings, there are people who just have a very short period of time, and I want everybody to get at least a little taste of your music. So I want to play one of the songs from your CD.
Let's do it. Which one do you want to do?
Well, hang on just a second before we do that now. We want to go to the phones because Nicole is with us in Louisiana this morning. Hi, Nicole. Good morning. Nicole, are you with us? No, I guess Nicole may have dropped off. Okay, anyway, I think Nicole said that she just recently got a hold of your CD and absolutely loves it. So I just want to give you that little bit of...
I'm actually down in Louisiana now. I'm doing a parish mission down here, an Advent mission. So I celebrated all these wonderful masses at St. Joseph's Church in Shreveport. And tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night, I hope the Lord uses me to bring a sense of Advent hope and joy and longing to this awesome community down here.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. All right, the name of Father Mike Joly's CD, and again, by the way, you can pick that up at FatherMikeJoly.com. And yes, spell out the word Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, FatherMikeJoly, J-O-L-Y.com. The CD is entitled Never More Me. That's the title track. It's also song number one on the CD, and that's the one that I want to play right now for you, our listeners. So before we do, tell us about the song, how it came about.
Yeah, all right. This is kind of a cool song. I was inspired to put this song together about 2 years ago, and it was only 3 years before going to studio with it, and I was inspired by a bunch of first communicants. You know, it's really cool to... be able to nurture family life into eternity through the sacraments. And I think a lot of times the children have this open, beautiful receptivity to Christ in the sacraments. And they all dress up for it so awesome, and they're, you know, they're really well-practiced, and their amen is the loudest perhaps it'll ever be in their life when they receive the Lord. It's just awesome. And I was so moved by that, I wrote this song. And the refrain is, I'm never more me than when I receive you. And I'm never more free in the things that I do. Keep my heart and mind and will in communion with you still. I'm never more me. Just the whole notion of, you know, there's a miracle breaking into our lives if we only permit it to. And it's Christ, you know, entering any door that is open. He's not going to bust the door in. And just this whole notion of, in order to be really free, really alive, really whole, really forgiven, really renewed, Lord, come into my life. That's the song.
All right, well, let's listen to it right now. Father Mike Joly is with us this morning, and at the conclusion of the song, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back more of Father Mike and his story. So I really want you to stay tuned in. Again, this is the title track to his CD. It's called Never More Me, Father Mike Joly, F-A-T-H-E-R, Mike Joly, J-O-L-Y.com is the website. I think you're going to like this. I'm Gus Lloyd. You're on Seize Today on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Father Mike Joly, that's called Never More Me. It's the title track to his CD. Father Mike Joly with us, and he will return. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of Father Mike's story and more of his music. Keep it right here. Seize the Day, and I'm Gus Lloyd. You're on the Catholic Channel.
Three.
Three out of four dentists agree. Not staying tuned to seize the day with Gus Lloyd will rot your teeth out. So stay tuned and smile.
I'm Mindy from SiriusXM's Kids Place Live.
Great!
Inviting you to a crazy rumpus room dance party.
Two!
That's out of this world.
One!
Summer Cricket's Tomb and the Space Cadets!
With a rocket ship full of guitars, keyboards, bass, drums.
Wow.
And even a baton twirling tap dancer in a jumpsuit?
Go! Shake your body up!
Tim and the Space Cadets are blasting off this Saturday, 5 p.m. East to West, on Kids Place Live, SiriusXM 78.
For almost 1,500 years, thousands of men and women in monasteries around the world have found St. Benedict's rule to be a sure guide to Christian life.
One-minute monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
The rule has exercised a profound influence in history. But do you know what St. Benedict himself thinks of the rule he wrote? He calls it simply a little rule for beginners. He points us beyond himself to the work of others, and ultimately to the Bible as the truest guide for human life. St. Benedict's rule has endured so long because he kept his mission in mind. He pointed people to Christ, not to himself.
For your free copy of the Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. O-N-E, minutemonk.com.
We too are most productive and helpful when we keep our mission in mind and seek to respond to what others really need, rather than to impose what we want to do.
Man, I really need some inspiration today. I wish there was a way to listen to my favorite show on the Catholic Channel while at work.
Hello there.
Who are you?
I am God, the spokesperson for the Catholic Channel.
Why are you here?
I am here to tell you you can access the Catholic Channel at work.
Really?
Yes. All you have to do is log on to thecatholicchannel.org and click listen now, and you'll be able to listen to all your favorite hosts from the comfort of your work cube.
What's the website again?
It's thecatholicchannel.org. God out.
Seize the day. Good morning, my friend, and welcome. I'm Gus Lloyd. Thank you for joining me. You're on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Well, we are very honored to have with us this morning Father Mike Jolie. Father Mike is, he's responsible for this CD called Nevermore Me, and I am Gus Lloyd, and I got to tell you, from the first time I heard it, absolutely loved it, so I said, we got to have this priest on the show. So, Father Mike Jolie joins us on the show. Now, Father Mike, I want to get back, if you don't mind, a little bit more to your vocation story.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned about how, you know, you had thought about the seminary before. Tell me about what it was like when you began to discern and you told your family, hey, I think I'm going to go into the seminary. I feel called to the priesthood. What kind of reaction did you get from your family there?
Right. Well, recall the whole setup of the family scene. Again, really good, loving people. Nowadays, you know, our faith as a family is on fire. But at the time, I was a bit of the odd boy out, you know, wanting to pursue a vocation to the priesthood. As a matter of fact, I do remember telling my dad I was thinking of the seminary, and he said, you're too young to die. And I think he thought I said cemetery. Although I guess that is how some folks view the seminary. It was interesting. I remember coming home from seminary after my first few months there. I went to St. Mary's Seminary and University in Baltimore, and I really, they were really transformative years from 90 to 94. And I remember coming home for Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact, as my first sort of re-immersion into the family scene, having gone to seminary, and then wanting to pray grace at the Thanksgiving table. And I remember everyone's like, "Oh, okay, Mike, go ahead, do it,
sure, and, whatever."
Oh my goodness gracious! But nowadays it's like, who gets to pray grace? I want it. No, I want it. Can I do it? Can I do it? And, so my family is really quite spiritually alive. And maybe, you know, the Lord always has to work in somebody first. And if I needed more of his mercy than the rest of my family, maybe that's why he sort of, you know, kind of moved on me first so persuasively. But they are really very, very supportive, my family, of the vocation. And I've been ordained 17 years now. 3 weeks ago was my 17th anniversary. And the Lord has really shown me a lot, man. It's interesting. You know, studies are done of priests ordained 5 years, and then 10 years, and then 15 years. And it's interesting, the responses, the feedback is kind of universal. You know, the first 5 years are certainly, we think that we are, you know, sort of the, you know, we are God's chosen instrument. And we are out there to bring salvation to folks. And then in the next 5 years, something happens, I think, where we realize, Lord, you're here to refine, grind me into flour, and bake me into something that looks more like you. Mm. And then in the, you know, last 7 years, it's been just thanking God for his mercy and the ability to receive him into my life. And if anyone else can receive from that, Lord, then that's your grace at work in them, you know.
Praise God. Yeah, that's great stuff. Father Mike Joly is with us this morning. Again, his website is F-A-T-H-E-R. You just spell out the word Father Mike Joly, and that last name is J-O-L-Y.com. You can get a copy, by the way, of his CD, Nevermore Me, there on the website. You know, I wanted to ask you too, Father Mike, about, you mentioned this this notion of having this long-time struggle with doing a music CD. I know that there were a lot of obstacles that you had to overcome, that you had a lot of people in your life. You mentioned about Rick Elias. I know you had a lot of people that were very supportive in you about that. But tell me, were there struggles with a couple of things? First of all, you mentioned about how you weren't sure if the music would be good enough. Now, I get the sense from somebody like you, you didn't think that this was about you at all. This was more of a CD about, is this going to glorify God well enough? Were there... take this in the spirit it's intended.
Absolutely.
By the way, were there difficulties or issues with egoism or egotism in the sense of, you know, how is this going to reflect on me if the music isn't good enough? I mean, did you have those struggles at all?
It wasn't that side of the struggle. It was, again, if anyone picks up the CD, look at the back cover. When I was talking to the graphic designer, they wanted to plaster my picture on it, and I didn't want this to be about glorifying a human being. I really wanted it to be about helping somebody else through a door of grace that I found. In the Eucharist, the CD begins and ends with the Eucharist. The first track's Nevermore Me. The last track on it is Are Not Our Hearts. It's, you know, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Sure.
And everything in between, track 7, I wrote for a dear, dear friend of mine and his wife. It was their wedding gift. It's a beautiful sacramental wedding song. Track 2, One Cross, it's dedicated to all priests, actually. So every song has a significance on there. And I didn't want I didn't want the significance to be me. I wanted the significance to be Christ. If you look at the back cover, I ended up prevailing over the graphic designer, and you see a picture of me walking away.
Yeah,
so you don't see
your
my
back.
Face at all.
Yeah, it's your back. Uh-huh.
It's right. I'm in clerics and all, and I don't know if you can tell this. I have the white walking stick in my hand, but I'm walking away. Just this whole notion of I'm never, like, leaving behind one's old self and walking toward, if you see what I'm walking toward, it's really quite a beautiful scenery, and walking toward the Lord who's opening the door. So, you know, I'm never more me. Like my old self, as Paul says, I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And that was kind of what I was trying to communicate there. So it wasn't bashing up myself as much as, is this really going to be something that glorifies God, something good enough for you, Lord? You know,
yeah.
I think a lot of us struggle with that sense of, you know, we're never quite as bad as we see ourselves, and we're never quite as good as other people see us to be. And the Lord just knows us through and through and moved me and said, Mike, I gave you this. Give it back to me.
And you've done a yeoman's job of that, no doubt about it. Father Mike Joly is with us this morning. Let's get another song in here, Father Mike. I really, really like track number 3 is called From the Inside Out. I want to play that for our listeners. Tell us about that song.
Right. This movie. It's actually a cover song. There's 3 cover songs on here. And what really moved me about this song is the penitential quality of it. And you know, our brethren in the Protestant faith are responsible for this song, and I tell you, it expresses a sense of somebody coming to understand our own human frailty and then the infinite mercy of God. Advent barks that out all over the place, you know, that he's coming, the Messiah who has come into the world, delivering mercy into our broken lives. He is coming definitively. So in a way, it's really an awesome sense of Advent spirituality wrapped up in that song. But yeah, I'd love for you to play it, and hope it's a prayer for somebody.
Oh, I know it will be. Let's listen to it right now. Father Mike Jolie, this is from his CD called Nevermore Me, and this particular song is called From the Inside Out, here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel. Today, I'm Gus Lloyd. You're on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. That's an excerpt from the CD Nevermore Me, Father Mike Jolie. That particular song is called From the Inside Out. Father Mike is with us on the program here this morning. Father, I know you mentioned that you do retreats, missions, things like that. Are you a diocesan priest?
I am. I love my parish. I have a beautiful, beautiful parish in Yorktown, Virginia, in the Diocese of Richmond, St. Joan of Arc. And about twice a year, I'll take some my own vacation time or some retreat time myself and go and try to bring some of the message. The theme of this particular mission is miracle, faith or fiction. And I did some reading by C.S. Lewis to prepare this one. And I got some spirituality in here from, you know, Fulton Sheen and from Henry Nouwen, which was one of my favorite spiritual writers. And
yeah.
Pope John Paul II always makes an awesome debut.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that cast of characters.
Absolutely not.
Hey, I got to ask you now, too. You know, we were actually having a little bit of a debate a little bit earlier about, you know, I played earlier on the show, I played a little bit of Nevermore Me,
right?
The song.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were having a bit of a conversation about who it is that you sound like. Now, there were some theories that were propounded. I have my own thoughts about that. So let me ask you, from a musical perspective, who are some of your heroes? Who are some of your influences?
Well, this is interesting. Just the way I play keys is influenced. When I was, 8, 9, 10 years old, 8 tracks and cassette tapes were the way to go.
State of the art, yeah.
Yeah, and I had like 6 of them. And all right, here it goes. You're making me do this.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, the keys, I used to listen to Billy Joel and to Elton John a lot in terms of keys.
Nice.
And I can't believe I'm going to do this. Oh, God, I hope America is forgiving. But not really, because this guy's an awesome artist. But just, I think it probably betrays someone that is not exactly hip, who is me. I'm not exactly hip. But I used to listen to Neil Diamond a lot when I was...
Oh, I thought you were going to say Barry Manilow. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, man. I was talking just a couple of days ago about how I'm a big fan of Neil Diamond.
All right. Confessions, I had his tape, too.
Okay.
That is funny.
Nothing wrong. Barry Manilow was one of the most talented, is one of the most talented human beings ever.
Absolutely. I mean, he is loaded. Really, really talented.
And Neil Diamond, too. So your influence is there. Well, let me just throw out some names that came up in our conversation this morning.
Right.
I thought you sounded a bit like maybe there was some influence from Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
That's interesting. Bruce lives 20 minutes from me right now.
Is that right? Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the jingle of the keys, the way you kind of jingle the keys, even your vocal quality, I think, is a little bit like Bruce Hornsby. A little bit also, a name that popped into my head was Bruce Coburn. I don't know if you know Bruce Coburn, in Memphis from a few years ago. That kind of singer-songwriter vibe. Any thoughts about that?
No, but that puts me in a league that I'm not sure I'm qualified for, but thanks for the compliment.
Yeah, I thought I heard, you know, like influence. And now that you say, you know, you're a big fan of like Billy Joel and Elton John from the keyboard perspective, I hear that. I hear that in your music. So it's nice to hear, you know, about your influences, because, you know, we all grew up in a time and we all had influences in our lives. And it's interesting to hear those come in, and especially for you to be able to use those influences, really bring a strong gospel message into the music and into the songs. Now, the next song that I want to play is one that you already alluded to. You mentioned it a few moments ago, and that is One Cross. So tell us about this song and how this one came up.
This is a neat song. I started writing this song in a previous version about, gosh, I was in seminary. I was at St. Mary's in seminary, and I kept the refrain of the song, and I rewrote the music and the words to the verses in order to put it on this record. So the song, you know, in one way or another goes back 20 years. And the refrain, I knew it had staying power, and it's really prayerful. The theology of the refrain is, you know, we all have our quote unquote own personal crosses to bear, but there's only redemption when, you know, in them and through them, if I unite my own to the one cross who, you know, connects heaven and earth together, to the one sort of transformer cross, as it were. The verses came from a retreat. It's, I write many retreats, and there's one particular retreat. It's a retreat based on the Paschal Mystery. And when I was writing a retreat, it was named From Cross to Resurrection. And just the whole notion of the transforming power of going from our burdens to a real sense of freedom in life. When I ran this retreat for the first time, I decided to change the name of it and called it From Albatross to Phoenix. And about 2,600, 2,700 youth have experienced this weekend over about probably 60 or 70 weekends now over the past 17 years. I have dear friends that also run it up north in New Jersey. They run that retreat in their own youth ministry. And it's interesting. People go, why Albatross to Phoenix? Well, if I called it Cross to Resurrection, kids don't think that that's cool.
Right.
So albatross, you know, of course, it's a bird in the Southern Caribbean, but more, the second definition of an albatross, like an albatross around your neck,
right,
you know, is a constant burden or heavy cross to bear. And, of course, Phoenix, why, that's a bird, too, you know, and the kids might find that kind of cool, but the second definition of Phoenix is a resurrected person, a transformed person, you know, someone that has been reduced by fire and crushed into ashes due to burdens in the world, and yet is raised up, renewed. So, Albatross to Phoenix is sort of the inspiration for the verses on this song going to play.
All right, let's do it right now, Father Mike Joly. And again, his website is Father Mike Joly. You spell that out, F-A-T-H-E-R, Mike, J-O-L-Y.com. From his CD, Nevermore Me, this is called One Cross on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. An excerpt again from the song One Cross. Father Mike Joly, his CD is called Nevermore Me. Father Mike joins us here on Seize the Day. Well, Father Mike, we got to run, but before we go, I'd like for you to just talk to our listeners for a minute about your ministry and about how they can get a hold of your CD.
Sure. Well, the website, as you know, you said, is fathermikejoly.com. You spell out F-A-T-H-E-R-M-I-K-E. Last name, joly.com. And the CD is available on that website. I want to thank the folks that helped put that website together, some dear friends. And, yeah, I just pray that anyone that receives a CD is actually receiving sort of a door made a little wider by Christ to be affected by grace, to be a source of prayer, a source of real spiritual nourishment. I want to thank Rick for helping produce the record, and for anyone who has obtained it and realizes that it is a prayer. I also want to thank the folks who are encouraging and reaching out. One of my plans, it didn't happen this time around, but God willing, by next Christmas, was to put a Christmas record together and just really include sacred Catholic theology in it, but also make it really approachable. So I'd like that to be kept in prayer by folks as well.
Sure, you bet. Okay, well, before we let you go, would you be so kind as to offer us your priestly blessing, Father?
Let us pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, our Father, we praise you as the whole world longs for Christ, as the whole world longs to have the fullness of your kingdom realized in our lives. Lord, use this Advent season as a time to open wide the doors of every single human heart to receive him who is the light of the world, him who has come and is coming again into the world, him who is the death and resurrection, the real transformation that each one of us seeks. The lights increase on our Advent wreath, Lord. Allow the light of your Son to evermore overwhelm our lives with the sense of true freedom, so that at Christmas, at Christ Mass, we'll have truly joy to be thankful for. That is your gift to us. And may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Mike. And God's blessings to you. A very fruitful Advent season, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for everything you do. God bless you.
My pleasure. Father Mike Julie with us this morning. Again, that CD is Never More Me. Go to his website and get that CD. I promise you, it's really good stuff. And as I said earlier, first time I heard it, I said, wow, this guy's good. He really, really is. So if you're interested, FatherMikeJoly.com, FatherMikeJoly.com. And to just kind of see us out of this segment, we'll listen to more of the CD. This is from a song called The Last Word, Father Mike Joly, here on Seize the Day.
Whatever you say, whatever spoken for me to hear, it's hard to do. Spoken once is all it takes, but that's never enough, never enough. The way they are heard, it's the truth in the things you say. I have the last word. I pray the first prayer. I rise victorious, glorious, frees you from death. Now it is finished. Paradise won them. Although the last tense and last word, we forgive and love them. The road you have to speak to me is the treasure I want to find over and over again. Hearing you sing, help me never forget the treasure I found. Be patient with me from the cross you speak, with the power of love who saves. I have the last word. I breathe the first breath.
Father Mike Joly and The Last Word. We've been blessed to have Father Mike on the program this morning. And if you're interested in getting a hold of his CD, Never More Me, go to his website, Father Mike Joly. It's FatherMikeJoly.com. I'm Gus Lloyd. Stick around. More Seize the Day when we return. You're on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM.
Seize the Day with Gus Lloyd. It's like coffee for your ears.